All right, well, today, if you want to go to Psalm 19 and got some things that we're going to do today, and I'm going to need some people's help as far as participating. So, if I call on you, don't get mad at me, but there's a couple of things and that we're going to do here today. So Psalm 19, verse 7, 7 through 11. Psalm 19, 7 through 11. 7-11. Amen. Anybody ever go to a 7-11?
Yeah.
They need to have one around here somewhere. I sure do miss those Slurpees.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. I have to go all the way to St. Mary's to get something equivalent to it, which is a fruit slushy at Sonic. So, all right, Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, God, that your word will give us instruction. Your word will correct us. Your word will reprove us, God. Your word is beneficial to us, God, Lord, so that we can be thoroughly furnished to be that godly man, godly woman that you so desire. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I got a couple of things that I want to do. How many of you guys have ever noticed, I mentioned this on Wednesday, but there are certain items hidden on a dollar bill? Anybody? Okay. So I need a volunteer if there's any student. Hey, all right. So I'd like the first student to come on up here. I don't care who it is, just whoever's the first one up here. All right. Now, I'd like to get a certain adult to come on up here. You could sit right there. Lydia, sit right there. And adult to sit right over. I don't care who. Just come. And if no one shows up, I'm going to start naming you. Okay? All right. And so, let's see. I need to give you this clipboard so that you got something to write on. There's a pen. And Lydia, there's a clipboard right over here, I think. Nope, there's a book and a pen. All right, so while I'm talking, they're going to do something, and there are hidden images on a dollar bill. One, for those of you that aren't going to be following along here, one is an eye. Number two, 13 items of the same image. A Maltese cross. Number four is MDCCLXXVI. The fifth one is skeleton key. The sixth one is three leaves and one berry on a same stem. So there's six of them, then there's a bonus. So what I'm going to do in a little bit, I'm going to each give you a dollar bill, and you got a couple of minutes that I'll give you to go ahead and find those things, okay? Now, it's okay for you to, using a pen, it's okay for you to circle that little item, whatever it is on the dollar bill, write on it, okay? That's fine. I've seen a lot of things written on a dollar bill, and they still take dollar bills, so that's okay. All right, so while I'm talking, you guys go ahead and read. 3, 2, 1, start. Okay, so here we find in Psalm 19:7, it says the law. That word law is Torah. This is what Jews believed in, and they searched, and they studied it, and they taught their children it. And from Genesis to Deuteronomy, those books was what the Jewish family would live by, would preach, would teach, and would share with their children. It says the law of the Lord is perfect. That word perfect means without spot, undefiled. That's why when we have the word of God as Christians, it's not just Genesis through Deuteronomy. It's Genesis to Revelation. It's God's word. And it's undefiled, without spot, without any error. Okay, now for those of you that like to go shopping and you go into the produce section, not any of you, unless you really want to, but none of you would grab a tomato that is bruised and soggy on one side. You go, you look for the ripe ones. You look for the ones that are nice and they're ready to be eaten. And there's no flaw in them. Of course, you're looking at it. There's no big gaping hole. There's nothing rotten in it. And so God's word is much more than that. But it says here it's perfect, undefiled. Converting. That word converting means to turn back, to retreat. A lot of wars that have been fought, one side, either they all died or they retreated. They shouted that trumpet, and they all shouted, retreat, retreat. And they all, what did they do? They went back to where they came from. So it says to turn back, to retreat, to return to origin. So God's word, God's law is perfect, undefiled, for the reason of turning us back to God. Not turning us to just one church. Not turning us to a Sunday school club. Turning us back to God. Not turning us to a bunch of Christian music. Turning us to God. And so that's what God's word is. It's perfect. It converts the soul. It returns us back to God. Then it goes on in saying that this testimony, that word testimony is witness. That witness, that testimony of the Lord is sure. It is true for support. Now, understand this psalm is a psalm of David. And so he wrote this, understanding that God's word, God's law is perfect. It is to convert the soul, return back to God, because God's word, his testimony, he's the witness, his testimony is sure. It is true for support. Making wise the simple. Now that word simple, it means foolish. Now sometimes when you think about this, maybe it might happen later on, but God's word is causing the foolish to become wise. So I'm not sure if anyone's ever told you that you're foolish, but hey, I would like to be known as foolish so that God's word can make me wise. All right, so that's what God's word is. And again, this is David who's writing this. Now verse 8. It says the statutes, the mandate, God's official order or commission. If you have ever been in the military, there was a mandate for you to present yourself to a certain a company or to a certain battalion by such and such date and such time. If you did not show up, you are unauthorized absence and people are going to go look for you. You're in trouble. Now, you could say, I missed my flight. I missed a cab. But if weeks go by, you are considered AWOL. You were supposed to present yourself somewhere, but you didn't. God's law, God's word is a statute. It's a mandate, an official order for us to follow. But this official order of the Lord is right. It is straight. It is upright for the purpose of rejoicing our heart. That's one of the things that God wants us to be in, to rejoice that his instruction or his mandate is to bring us joy, not to bring us sorrow, but to bring us joy. How close are you guys there? What number are you on there, Brother Bill? Oh, I'm still looking for two. Lydia, where you at? Oh, you got one left. Woo! Okay, so the commandment, verse 8, the commandment, the ordinance of the Lord is pure, enlightening, illuminating our sight. The fear, now this word fear means to dread and to revere God. The fear of the Lord is clean, it's pure, enduring forever. The judgment, the verdict or judicial sentence of God is true and righteous altogether. Now verse 10. This is important that all of us need to hear. Moreover, to be desired are they. What's they? The law, God's testimony, God's statutes, God's commandments, God's judgments. All of these are to be desired more than gold. You see how they're searching on this dollar bill? They're searching for hidden things that are there. Now, they don't know what the prize is, but yet it's a kind of fun thing, and they're searching. We need to be searching. Finding out more of who God is, because I'm telling you, even if you've been serving, reading the Bible, you've read through the Bible 15 times already, you got so many scriptures memorized. Listen, you haven't achieved to the point where you need to stop learning about who God is. All of the information that you have, that you have memorized, that you have learned, that you have come to understand through experiences and explanations of God's word, all of that still isn't enough. You need more. You need to know who God is. Why? Because God is so vast and great that our feeble minds, even if you live till you're 99, you will still... Are you done? Hey, no cheating. Okay. Still, you are in need of knowing who God is because your mind hasn't fully grasped who God is. Amen? And so it says, moreover, are they to be desired? The law, the testimony, the statutes, the commandments and judgments of the Lord. Desire them more than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Let me get another student. Caleb, come on over here. Let's see. Pick one and just stand right behind it. All right, let's see. All right, number 1 through 15. Jim, Mike, and Brian. Pick a number, 1 through 15. 1, 7, 15. Yeah, there's 2. All right, come on. Right here. All right, put it in there. Now, you need to use one hand, okay? One hand. You only need to pull out one piece of paper, whatever piece of paper is in there, all right? It's an index card. I folded it up, all right? So you got to search in there. You're searching, okay? Now, one thing you cannot do, grab the bucket and empty it all out. That's cheating, okay? So you got to just put your hand in there and pull out however much is in your hand, and you grab the piece of paper, right? You grab it. And whatever's on there, let me know, okay? Don't empty it out, all right? You guys ready? All right, go. Okay, so they're searching. They're searching for a piece of paper. What's on it? Open it up. What's in it? What's on there? Nothing? Okay. All right, what's on there? Number one. Oh, number one. Oh, that's number one. That's $1. All right, you win $1. You can go ahead and have a seat. Sweets. All right. All right, you go ahead and have a seat. Can I get, put it outside. Can I go ahead and have another student? Come on up. What did you say? Yeah. The number was 2, 7. He said 15. Come on up here. All right. When I say go, stick your hand in there. Okay, stick your hand in there. Don't grab whatever's outside, just inside the pail. All right, ready, say go. Okay, so they're looking for a piece of paper. They're searching. According to what Christians want to know on a website, nothing, okay? Nothing. Keep searching. According to what Christians want to know website, it says Matthew 6:33. What does that say?
50 cents.
Oh, you only get 50 cents. Sorry. Here you go. 50 cents. What? Sweets. All right. No, you can have sit down. M&Ms. Have a seat. Another student. Come on. Quick. Brian, come on up. You're the last one. Come on. Hurry up. According to what Christians want to know, it says, Matthew 6:33, one hand, don't you? It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. What you get? Open it up.
$100.
No, you get cheese crackers. All right, cheese and crackers. Huh? Gum. You get a pack of gum. Awesome. Good. All right, Lydia, where you at? You still can't find them? All right. How many you found?
All but two.
Okay. All right. Hey, come over here. Don't let Jamie show you. Okay. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Many times we are hesitant to seek after God because we are afraid of what we might lose. Yet whatever we may lose is no comparison to what we gain from him. Everything we need in this life is provided for us when we seek after God first. Everybody say first. So we look at Psalm 19, and this is what David was saying. All of those things that the law of God is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of God, the mandate or the official order of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening our eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. All of these are to be more desired. Listen, more desired than gold, more desired than the high seat of the ladder, or the top of the ladder, the highest seat in the business. These are to be sought after more than gold, more than what we can find here on earth. See, our actions point out some clear conclusions to our seeking of God, His Word, and His plans for our lives. Some of the things that they're looking for on that dollar bill, what they were looking for in that pail. I mean, those are the things. Yes, this was a fun game. This was a great illustration of finding out how we're searching for things. And when we find it, we're rewarded with something. When we search out what God is saying to us, when we search out what His law says, when we search out His word of how to be a godly man, how to be a godly woman, how to be a godly husband, how to be a godly wife, when we search those things out, the blessings come when we find and discover. Now listen, it is awesome to know Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him. If you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. What a great, great truth that we will find God if we seek for Him. But we got to seek for Him, not as they were just finding a piece of paper in this pail or looking for those hidden images on the dollar bill, but that we seek Him. Because we know that what He has, His law, man, His law is perfect. His law or His word converts us. It tells us, turn away from self and turn back towards God. And it rejoices our heart when we look for God and we look through His word and we discover things. All right, you done? Okay, so how many did you find? Five. How many did you find? Six. How many did you find, brother?
She found all.
Did you find the bonus one?
No.
No. Okay. You didn't find the bonus one? Okay. The star. All right. Good. You get to keep the dollar. You got six, and you get to keep for all your hard work. You get to keep the dollar. All right.
Where is it?
The star?
Star or the key?
The key is on the front, underneath the balance. Now, the bonus is star, but that's kind of like a trick thing. There really wasn't a star on either one of your dollar bills. But if you ever come across a dollar bill, you look at the serial number. If there's a star, they say that those are rare. The star indicates that it's a repeat. There's another dollar bill with that same serial number on there. See, no dollar bill is supposed to have the same serial number, but if there is, there's a star right behind that number. So if you ever come across, I heard that some people like to find them online and that they'll buy them, and they're worth more than a dollar online because people like to, save them or they are, what do you call that? One of those people that like to save things?
Collectors.
Yes, collectors.
Hoarders.
Hoarders, yeah. So, but yeah, so that was interesting. A star on the back at the end of the serial number means that there's another dollar bill with that same number, and that's just a repeat. So, also, did you know that the letters that are on the right, on the front of the dollar bill, on the left side, there's a letter? Those letters indicate where it was made. Some were made in New York, Atlanta, Chicago, Kansas City. And so all those letters correlate with where they were made. So interesting things that I learned about trying to find those things. So let's go to Acts chapter 17. Again, be reminded of Psalm 19 written by David. Now, David didn't have the New Testament. David didn't have the Bible as we have the Bible today. This is why we are not supposed to take our Bibles lightly, for granted. Just allow them to... Now, I have more than one Bible because some of them are different versions, and so some are on my bookshelf. But there are some people that don't only have one. It stays on the bookshelf, and it collects dust more than they collect the information that's found in the Word of God. And that's a sad thing. So we need to make sure that we don't take God's Word for granted. So in Acts chapter 17, verse 10, there were people in the Bible, now listen, These people in the Bible give us no reason to excuse ourselves from seeking God and understanding His word. And these were people in the town of Berea. So it says in verse 10, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. I'm thinking, well, that doesn't say too much about the people in Thessalonica, does it? But these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. This is why it says that. This is why they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all readiness. Now think about this. Because there have been times that the Lord has convicted me when I am not preaching and someone else is preaching. I'm sitting and I'm listening to someone teach, and there's not a full readiness to receive. My mind drifts off. I think about something else, and it's like, you know, knocked upside the head. Get your mind focused. Get focused. Be ready to receive what is being given. So these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Again, these people in Berea, they didn't have the Bible like we have the Bible today. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John weren't written and collected as these people, because Paul and Silas were sharing with them what they heard from Jesus and the other disciples. So it says that they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. I wonder how many people in the congregation after a Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, Wednesday night service, I wonder if that was right, what Pastor Rick said, or Pastor Shannon said, or Pastor Lori, what she preached, or what Brian spoke, or what Jacob spoke, or what Jeremy spoke in youth on Wednesday. I wonder if that's really what they said. Let's see, Isaiah 44, see verse 9. I remember them saying that. Yeah, that's true. That's right. I mean, this is what the people in Berea did. They received the word with readiness, meaning I'm going to listen. And I'm going to learn something. I'm going to receive something. A lot of times I wonder, and when people come into church, they come, but it's like they're not there. They've tuned out. Oh, that was great praise and worship, but they've tuned everything else out. Now, I know, for one, that I'm not a great speaker, and I'm not a great orator, and I may say things, and sometimes I even spit sometimes. I'm glad that I don't spit out in that direction where Mike and Lori are, but... I do my best, and I try to be a better speaker. Sometimes I wonder, do I need to go to a speech class? And sometimes if you are listening, you can. I've said this before, but I really had a bad problem when I was in junior high, middle school, where I stuttered a lot. So you might catch that every now and then. But it says that they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. And I wonder if people are ready to receive the word and they're actually writing or jotting things down, or maybe later on they'll think about it and write it down, but that they'll search to see if what was spoken were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men, believed as well. Verse 13, but when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away and to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command from Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now, again, about the people in Berea, they give us no reason to excuse ourselves from seeking God and understanding His word, because they didn't have the tools that we have today. It is easy for many of you to go to Bible.org and find out some things about what the Bible says, how many scriptures in the Bible talk about sin, how many scriptures talk about the peace of God. You can click on there and find all kinds of information. We have no excuse to say, well, I don't really the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Yeah, okay. There's really not a strong desire. There's really not a need for me to desire them more than gold. David says in verse 10, these things are to be more desired than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. So he's just not talking about just regular gold, much fine gold. I have many relatives who have bought gold and it's turned their hands, their wrist, or their neck green. They really weren't searching for fine gold. They were just looking for something that looked like gold. And I think a lot of people search the scriptures, search God's word, and they're okay with finding gold that will turn their neck green. For those of you that don't understand, if you buy gold and it turns your neck or your wrist green, it's because it's not really gold, it's fake gold. Let's go to Acts chapter 18. This is another guy. His name is Apollos. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. It says, "Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man," man of stature, man who speaks, you know, proper, a man who takes care of himself, and a man who just talks with just, you know, precise words, and he's just so eloquent, and he, you know, always stands up and never slouches. His arms are always back. I mean, this is what I'm picturing about this guy, Apollos. He's an eloquent man. But yet he searched the scriptures, yet he searched and submitted himself under authority to learn more. So he was born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures. Mighty in the scriptures, and he came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he didn't even know all of it, but yet he was eloquent, yet he searched the scriptures. He was mighty in the scriptures. I mean, this tells me that he just didn't know Jesus wept. Okay, he just didn't know one verse. I mean, he just didn't know John 3:16. He was mighty in scriptures. He knew what the scriptures spoke of. And even when we read about the word scriptures, it says mighty in scriptures. This has to do more with the Old Testament scriptures. What did Isaiah say? What did Isaiah say about the Messiah? What did King David say? What did God say to Moses? And so he was mighty in scriptures, again, because the New Testament wasn't written and it wasn't, you know, bundled up in this leather bound Bible for Apollos to read. And it didn't sit on his car because they didn't have cars. They didn't sit on his car dashboard. They didn't sit on his bookcase because, again, it wasn't written. So verse 25, this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in spirit. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he only knew the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, husband and wife team, they took him aside and expounded in the King James, explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. This guy being eloquent. Yet you know what, guys? He didn't think of himself to be, Silas, who are you to tell me about what Jesus said? I am eloquent. I am an eloquent man. I'm mighty in scriptures. I know more about what you think. I know more than what you think, Silas. No, or I know more than what you think, Aquila or Priscilla. He submitted himself under their teaching. It says that they explained to him more clearly the scriptures. Again, this gives us an indication, no matter how much you know, You need to humble yourself, that if there is someone who wants to explain the scriptures more clearly to you, that you listen and that you receive. And this is important for every single one of us, myself included, that we all can't think of ourselves so highly that we can't learn from anyone. that we can't learn. Some of you, God has spoken to you and shared and revealed what a certain scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that's probably one of your favorite scriptures, and you read it and God speaks something to you and you could share it in front of all of us. I can, you know, call you to come up here and you might be scared, but you'll be up here and you'll share what that verse means. And all of us, if we are ready and we have a readiness to receive, will receive from you. Because we need to be humble and realize, hey, I can learn something too. So again, Apollos being eloquent. Again, Apollos being mighty in scripture. Being fervent in the spirit. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. Yet he submitted himself under Aquila and Priscilla. I mean, this is an example that Shannon and I have come to just fall under. You know, we're not saying that we're Aquila and Priscilla in the flesh. There's no such thing as reincarnation. But we take our ministry that we work together, and it says that they helped Paul. They ministered to Paul, and Paul ministered to them. They were tent makers, and they have this guy who was eager to learn, eager to receive, eager to just have the scriptures explained to him, and he received that. And so let's go back again to, I'm going to read verses 8 of Psalm 19, 8 through 11. The statutes or the mandates of the Lord are right. They're straight. They're upright. Rejoicing the heart. The commandment, the command or ordinance of the Lord is pure. It enlightens, it illuminates our sight. The fear, to dread or revere God. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Again, this is David saying this. The judgments, the judicial sentence of the Lord is true and righteous altogether. These are more to be desired are they. Desired them more than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Those of you that got the sweets, you know, you search for it. I mean, this is where God's word, it could be sweet to us. I've heard a lot of times where people say, well, listening to someone and going to church can be boring. It's because your heart and your attitude is not right. You're not ready to receive something that's sweet and delicious for your spirit, for your soul, for you to change, for you to realize, ooh, yeah, my attitude's not right. Ooh, yeah, that's not cool. I need to change my attitude. I need to change my mouth. I need to change what I say. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. Now, let me just ask, and I'm prepared if nobody, if I only have one, that's fine. But let me ask, what's one scripture that really speaks something to you? Now, of course, not, you know, we all, like I've said before, you know, if you watch the football game, someone has John 3:16 up in the end zone. All right. But some other scripture that really speaks something to you. If anybody wants to share that real quick. Anybody? Yes, ma'am.
I actually like John 3:17.
Yes?
Yes.
You mind if I put the microphone?
John 3:17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, Jamie. Yes.
Okay. A verse that has spoken to me for a long time and has really spoken to me today is Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. And then going down in the chapter, it talks about how he'll provide for us in those times of struggles and stuff.
So. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Yes, Thomas. I'll come right over there. I'm bringing you the microphone because this is something cool that I'm gonna have on the radio. Hey.
Well, I have a couple of them. Most of y'all know I when I pray for the offering, I pray Malachi 3:10, bring ye the tithe to the storehouse that it may be meat in my house, saith the Lord, and that seed that I rebuke the devourer for your sake. And so I have experienced this scripture. I stood on it, and I've been standing on it for over 20 years. And I just know it's true. So,
amen.
And that, maybe that's like a John 3:16 to me now. So,
Lord, no, it means something. That's good. Anybody else? One more. Yes.
Mark 1:34, Jesus heals many.
Okay, amen. Jesus heals many. Yes, he does. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, thank you for that, for sharing those scriptures. And the fact that those scriptures mean something, I can only come to this conclusion. Now, I may be well off, but I can only come to this conclusion. They mean something to you because you just didn't hear it once, and all of a sudden you memorized it. Or all of a sudden you heard it once, and then that was it. It was like an epiphany, and like, oh, wow. But you heard it again. And then you might have heard it again. And then you might have heard it in a scripture or in a passage or in a sermon, and it spoke to you again. You went back to that verse and you looked at it and you read it in its full context. You read that verse. Maybe you fell asleep and like, well, like Thomas says, he applies that to his life. Something happened about that verse. It spoke to you, and it just didn't give you, you know, the goosebumps and the tickles, but it caused you to read it again. It caused you that when you heard it in a message, the light went on, the light turned on, your antenna went up, and it spoke to you again. Something about that verse that it speaks to you, that it just didn't come one time. It something happened. You searched for it. You reread it. You highlighted it. It's highlighted in your Bible, and you went back to it another day, and then you might have prayed through it. I don't know. You might have cried over it because God spoke, and it was real clear, and he spoke something else to you about that verse. But something about knowing God's word and hiding it in your heart, as the Bible says, that we will hide his word in our heart so that we won't sin against him. A lot of times we hide his word in our heart, and it's like ammunition. It's like, you know, I wouldn't say drinking a Red Bull, but, you know, I don't drink Red Bull. I don't like that. But it's like taking energy into your soul, into your spirit, that when you read that verse, you hear that verse, it pumps you up again. It's like adrenaline sometimes, and it's an encouraging. So I just encourage you to find a scripture. If you don't have one, stand on it. But this is the one thing that you're not, that you need to, this is one thing that you need to do. Read it again. Read it again. Write it on an index card. And if it really touches you, you're going to do that. You're going to do that anyway. You're going to highlight it. You might find it on a cool plaque and buy it and hang it up in your hallway or something. But there's something about that scripture. And there's something about searching God's word. That when we search his word, we find that it blesses us. We find that it does something to our spirit. It does something to our walk with God. That our walk with Christ becomes more sure, more certain, more trustworthy. Because we're standing on that word. We know what that word means. We know what that word is saying. Because God has brought revelation to us. And it is something special. So these little items that they searched. For, you know, they search for a piece of paper, they search for some items on the dollar bill. Those little, you know, rewards, the rewards that God gives us far outweighs those tiny rewards. So I just encourage you to search the word. Again, Deuteronomy 4:29, if you seek the Lord with all your heart, you seek him with all your heart, with all your soul, you're gonna find him. Father, we come to you and we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father, that your word speaks to us. We thank you, God, that your word challenges us. God, we thank you that your word corrects us. Thank you, God, that your word instructs us so that we may be thoroughly furnished to become that godly man or woman that you so desire. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.